It was about 600 years before Jesus was to be born. And Jeremiah, the prophet, not the bullfrog, Jeremiah, God's mouthpiece or spokesman, was sent to speak God's word to ancient Judah, or the southern part of the kingdom that remained. And in our Old Testament reading for this morning, the Lord, Yahweh, the rescue the people from their bondage and slavery in Egypt God, has some pretty stern words for his people. The northern kingdom had already fallen. They had turned away from God, embraced other gods and the so-called wisdom of this world, and most had refused to listen, and they had refused to turn from their selfish and sinful ways. And now Judah, that yet remained, was in similar trouble. So God asked, hey, when men fall down, don't they generally get back up? And if they turn off the right path, don't they generally return? Well, yes, of course they do. So then what's with my people? God asked. What's with Judah? They've fallen. And they won't get up. They continue to fall. They continue to head off in wrong directions. But they won't listen. They won't return. They're not interested. Everybody just does their own thing. Acts however they want to act. Makes up all kinds of things about God and how he should be happy enough with what they do and when and how they do it. They just insist on continuing to do things their own way, to think, to act, to speak their own way, even if it's counter to God's will and in clear instruction. And they then run around and insist that it's okay. And they found so-called mouthpieces of God to tell them that it's okay. Many of their leaders even condone such behavior, the ways of the rebellious, the whole we'll do things our own way crowd. You don't have to go to church to be saved. Third commandment? No, it's okay. It's okay. You're okay. You're fine. God's so-called people, his visible people of this time, the Old Testament people of God, had rejected his word and the ways of Yahweh. They regarded them as being either untrue or unreliable, maybe out of date, irrelevant, antiquated, or they simply ignored it, or they didn't even know any of it. The people didn't want. They didn't think they needed God's word and instruction, his guidance. They thought they knew better than God and everything that he had said. And the result? The result, back then, as now, is greed. Focus on the things of the here and now while we neglect the things eternal. The result is selfishness, rampant individualism, consumerism, half-truths, deceptions, spin, and lies. And the false mouthpieces and the so-called leader assured everyone that it was okay. God wasn't displeased with them and their ways. Peace, peace, they said. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. But God says differently. People doing things that didn't even raise much attention. People even doing abominable things, but no shame. No shame anymore. They didn't even know how to blush. So callous and hardened. So stiff-necked and stubborn. So self-righteous they had become. And Yahweh, God says, when I punish them, they shall be overthrown. Again, he's not talking to the heathen of Jeremiah's day. He's talking to God's Old Testament people. And they had gone wrong. And punishment would loom. Whew. I'm so glad that I don't have any thoughts or any desires or notions that aren't perfectly aligned with God's holy will. I'm glad that I never try to insist on my own way or on ways that will help me get what I think I want most. A bunch of folks are going to be sorry one day. But wait a minute. What am I saying? Am I nuts? Am I ignorant? Am I foolish? Am I blind? I am them. And what about you? Your wills, your words, your ways, always perfectly aligned with God's holy will? Everything in accordance with His word? So what are we to do? What are we to do? Well, just stop it. Straighten up and fly right. How's that going to go? How many times have you resolved not to continue the path that you struggle with? I do it daily. It's a constant struggle. So what are we to do? Is Jesus looking down at us today, shaking His head and crying because we've hidden our eyes or closed our ears and missed Him and turned a blind eye toward His holy word? Have we lost sight of what He came, what he came to do for us? Instead, choosing to focus on other, less important things and on things that cannot save us. Well, by God's grace, we do walk a different path. We fall, but we get up. We step off the path, but we return. We don't give in to the world or our old Adams, our old sinful selves. We don't indulge or condone. We acknowledge. We confess. And we return to the scene of our baptism. For Savannah, that's easy today, because she doesn't have to remember back very far. For the rest of us, we may have to go back a little ways. But it was at a scene much like this, that you were washed. You were saved. You were rescued. And now we continue on as one of God's children, not ignoring His voice, not ignoring His word, not because we know enough or we know better, but because of who He is. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And by God's grace and by the power of His Holy Spirit, you have returned here to be fed with God's holy word, to be reminded of your baptism, even as Savannah was brought on board the ark of the church. We haven't been left to ourselves. We haven't been abandoned. We have been invited and reminded of God's great love for us. He has washed the blindness from our eyes. He has pulled our hands away from our ears so that we might hear. And He has turned our gaze away, the things of the here and now, and directed them once again to the more important things, to the eternal things, to the gifts that God showers on His people here in the church, the gift of His Word and the sacraments right here for our strengthening, so that we remain anchored and firm in His Word and His ways. And He has turned our eyes away from our so-called righteousness, our self-righteousness, whatever we may root that in. He's turned our eyes away from that and pointed our gaze once again to Jesus, to the rock, to the stone of stumbling and the stone of offense referenced in our readings for today. He's pointed us back to Jesus and to the incredible gifts that He provides because of what Jesus endured for us. And so the church is often wont to sing in her hymnody of these great truths. I believe it's 761 in your hymnals, if you'd like to turn there or listen, and I think you'll know it. Rock of ages, the stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, the cornerstone on which the faith is built. Rock of ages, cleft for me, cut, struck, pierced for me, like Moses and the rock in the wilderness. Let me hide myself in thee. Hide me in you, so that I might be spared. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me, baptize me from its guilt and power, from its shame and bondage. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Salvation by works? No way. Jesus plus something? No way. No how. Could my zeal? No respite? No. No matter how zealous I was about it. Could my tears of sorrow and repentance ever flow? All for sin could not atone. Our works, none of them will ever atone. No matter how sorry I might be, no matter how good I might think I am or try to be, thou must save. Thou must save, and thou alone. Our salvation depends entirely on God. And folks, that is a great thing because of who and what God is. Nothing in my hand I bring, no decisions, no works, no sacrifices. Simply to the cross I cling. Empty hands are hands ready to receive. Ready to receive the gifts that God gives us. Naked, come to thee for dress. Thy blood and righteousness, they are my glorious dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Foul, messed up, dirty, filthy, covered with the leprosy of sin, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyelids close in death, and even when I die, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, on the last day, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Then, as now, hide me in you, so that I might live and be saved, and grafted into the vine that is life. You were made, and you now are one of his dear children. By grace, through spirit, created faith, and all on account of him. To him be all praise, glory, and honor with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We stand for the offertory.